Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It is Friday time for Training Tech Talk.
Yay.
Hey,
where's that lovely audience?
Oh, they're coming.
There they are. Fancy they are.
It's Friday. They're excited. They're ready for the weekend. Hopefully
yes.
The weather's going to be nice finally, so I'm excited, too. I wish I could play hooky the rest of the afternoon, but don't have that luxury.
I don't know. I may find a way.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you know, it's a holiday weekend, you know, so people get out and do things, but go shopping might be one of them, or go to the beach, travel. You know, and so all of those experiences, you probably have some kind of encounter with restaurant staff or airport personnel, in a hotel, concierge, and those things. And so I thought today we would talk about what are the challenges around training people for customer service types of positions. And you really think about it, everybody in the company should be trained around customer service, even if they aren't customer facing. You have internal customers as well, so I really think that does
right.
impact a large population of the employee base. And then you know, you've got different age groups and different styles around the age groups that you're talking about. And so, you know, companies today are really kind of really challenged with customer service. So one of the things I want to start off with is I think I've talked about this at some other shows, but a lot of times, let's just say you are shopping for a new refrigerator.
Okay.
You know, most people today do a lot of their research online and then narrow
yeah.
their decision down by, you know, maybe two or three choices. Or it's, you know, by price, delivery, location. You
sure.
know, something
and
in that
reviews.
Order.
And reviews. I think people are,
mm-hmm.
at least unless they're not like me, I'm at a large purchase like that, I'm going to want to know Consumer Reports' feelings on that, and then also people who have actually owned the product that I'm considering.
Yeah. And so that's I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that has greatly impacted, I think, customer service training and customer
mm-hmm.
service handling that function in the business operations, because Yelp and, like you said, these reviews and chat boards and Facebook, all of these things really drive opinions of the product itself before you even get to the website or before you get to the store or wherever it might be. And
right.
so, you know, you think of all the travel sites that people look at. What's the one big one where people constantly put in tips and pointers about certain – it's not Travelocity. It has travel in the
travel,
name.
TripAdvisor is one.
TripAdvisor, yeah, that's it. That's one thing. You know, so all of those things is, so how can, once somebody gets to the point of actually interacting, you know, so that's almost like interacting with someone that's representing the company. And so that's something that's really hard for companies to control these days. So I know a lot of companies have software that tries to monitor that, but once you get to that point of the website. So the website's usually that first point of contact. And so today I see a lot of pop-up windows. Like, can I
yeah.
help you? You know,
right.
but it's
chat
still,
windows.
It's like, yeah, so where's that agent sitting? Sometimes you still suspect, are they in another
real
country?
Person?
Yeah, or a real person. And so, you know, so I don't know what companies do to train around the instant messaging chatting. I really don't know if they actually have a training agenda or training platform for that, because that's certainly something, if it takes, you know, and I know people are managing multiple windows just in the way that, you know, people behave and how long it takes them to respond to me sometimes.
Sure.
You know, if I'm waiting there for longer than a minute for somebody to get back to me for what I seem to think is a simple request, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure
yeah.
they have some type of tracking software that monitors all of that type stuff. But
abandonment rates and all that, sure,
mm-hmm.
sure, sure, sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's just interesting to see what analytics people are starting to collect around that. So I'm actually going to a convention called the Call Center Week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all around, you know, call center type. So, you know, that's usually where you hear examples of things blowing up. So if it's not a retail face-to-face scenario, the very next kind of story people tell is, I was trying to get tech support, or I was trying to get help customer service to ask questions about my bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much money being poured into call centers and call center technology and call center analytics. And I sometimes think they really forget the really critical component of that is, how does someone build rapport and have that conversation with someone that keeps their emotions in check?
Right.
And they call it kind of the soft side of training, but it's probably much more critical. And so I've had a conversation with a customer lately. They were large call center, and they were trying to measure the kind of soft skills of their call center people. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I kind of took them down that route of, well, we have a way to measure the emotional analytics in the person's voice. I mean, I think that's an excellent place to start.
Sure.
And we've got a new client that we're kind of rolling out a pilot for, but it's face-to-face retail. So same thing, you know, how good are you at able at engaging in that conversation with that person? So, you know, product knowledge is just transferring information. You know, do they know the product? Do they know how, you know, what are the technical specs of the product? That's all just product knowledge. Customer
right.
service training is a whole different animal when you're looking at, you know, winning the business or maintaining the business. And so I used to sell a lot of training videos around customer service, around a lot of retail organizations, and it was all around person engaged, building rapport, and it's really hard to teach people how to do that sometimes. So I know with your acting background, are there exercises that you've seen that might transfer to kind of either a retail or customer service situation that would give people a way to kind of teach these skills to people?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things that are really valuable. I think one, utilizing improvisation with maybe some scenario cards that the
mm-hmm.
facilitator of the training has people go through in front of one another. So you get two volunteers up on stage, one's going to be the customer and one's going to be the other, and they're going to have some cards with which they're going to read specifically what is on each card. So it may be a customer service situation that came from real life, might have been one that's kind of a train wreck, which train wrecks are always awesome for teaching people, as long as the people involved in the train wreck are adequately removed from the process, like as in they've been protected to protect their identities kind of thing. It's been cleansed a bit so that the names have been changed to protect the innocent,
mm-hmm.
yada, yada. But anyway,
right.
So you have them go through both sides. So one, they're not responsible for coming up with anything yet with improvisation, but yet they're still standing up there and reading these cards for us. And you can debrief quickly with the group of people that you're doing this in
right.
front of, talking about what could have been done differently. Maybe you have somebody who's really got a lot of great ideas. So you say, oh, thank you to the people that were up on stage. Let's go ahead and get two people more up here, especially,
mm-hmm.
you know, Cindy, who's got some really great ideas. Let's role play again through this and see how it would go. And then we are utilizing some improvisation, very focused on what it is we're trying to do, and then walking through the process with everyone so that they're hearing and seeing it done differently. We're also getting to laugh at a mistake in a very safe environment where no client is getting hurt.
Right,
no,
right.
No customer service rep is being flogged. It's really quite a very safe place to talk about what might be the better way to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe talk about what some of your challenges are. What do you run into? How do you, as a more seasoned customer service representative, deal with a difficult situation? And allow,
right.
as a facilitator, to have your trainees be your resource material. Wow, where did we hear that from?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tiagi, and
yeah.
from our improv model. you know, using that as your focus. And again, if you as a facilitator, and that comes in well if you're an improviser for sure, that listening and capturing, coaching is also real helpful for this, listening and catching what people are saying and helping to use that direct the conversation that you're trying to have with these people, which is ultimately, how do we do customer service better, right?
Right.
So that's what I've seen.
Yeah, and I think from a face-to-face standpoint, that's very important because it's hard to kind of do an e-learning course and role-play two-dimensional platform. I mean, you can, again, give people scenarios, situations, have them do exercises, have even avatars on the screen that they're interacting with. But I think just that physical energy between two human beings, there is something there that takes it to a whole nother level.
Absolutely. And I think, Nancy, you could also still utilize, like, the Emoti reader that we use to help display, because it's so good at displaying graphically the tone, and it would be fun to take that customer service situation that's gone wrong, and just take it through a few steps of one person speaking and another person speaking and seeing it go wrong, and then look at the Emoti meter on both sides of the conversation and really kind of see where we are from that perspective. Asking people where they think those people are and then showing them what the tool is showing. Might be a very interesting conversation.
Right. Right. And so the other side of it, too, is, you know, we've all encountered some form and fashion of some customer service situation. And so I think building some type of wiki or some kind of chat room, or I don't know what you might call it, but just some place where people can, you know, go and pull from maybe past experiences, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And build upon that so that, you know, and tell people it's there. Go there and either, you know, search for customer service situations, put yours in there so that we can all kind of maybe rate them to see which ones are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
You know, so I think just building that in from an awareness standpoint is a big part of, you know, helping people be more empathetic. And I think that's an easy thing to do for customer service training because we've all had it. Now, if you do other types of training that maybe people aren't as familiar with, then that's where you have a different kind of crossroads that you have to get past. But I just think that the sheer fact that we've all been in those situations helps create that empathy scenario first. Now,
absolutely.
In the call center setup, you know, so there's thousands and thousands of scenarios out there for that. I think, you know, they can utilize tools like ours to do some type of simulation because ours is a very realistic scenario. I know people, a lot of people I've been talking to recently have been sending me their recorded calls and you know, it's been interesting listening to those recorded calls and telling which people are comfortable and which ones aren't. And you can just really sense who's good at building rapport, listening to what the customer is saying, kind of listening for what's going on in their world and being empathetic to that versus those that just kind of, all right, I got my checklist, I got to get through my checklist, and I want to get this information in the system and then move on.
Right.
And so who's more valuable to the organization, you know, because I think sometimes the metrics force people to be less customer service friendly, you know, because I think some call centers measure people on how long they're in the call, how long it takes them to resolve the situation, because, I mean, you might be able to resolve the situation, but is there any harm in taking a few more minutes in, you know, just chit-chat?
Right. Right.
You know, and making that conversation and that human connection more personalized than just saying, yep, I got your record here. Here's what it is. Have a good day. Yeah.
Right.
You know, making it so what's, oh, gosh, you know, they were more warm and friendly towards me. And so I don't know if there's been any kind of studies out there that talk about that, but I did find a very, very interesting one that I put into LinkedIn just yesterday. Let me pull it up here. It talks about how to be persuasive, and there's actually scientific proof and studies that have been done on this. So the secrets from the science of persuasion. So how to be persuasive, and so there's a YouTube video that's really, really good at explaining this. But so they said there were six universal behaviors out of all the things they studied. And this came, I originally saw this on that website I look at a lot, Quantified Communications, but reciprocity. Mm-hmm. So if somebody does you a favor, you kind of feel like you should do something back to them. Scarcity, make it seem like, okay, this is, you know, for today only. You know, a lot of times I'll be talking to GoDaddy.
Yeah.
And they'll say, something like, just want to let you know, I'm just checking on your records, and you've got some things expiring, and we actually have a discount today for 20% off, you know, those types of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that kind of has a way to help persuade people around, this is only offered now, or there's only a certain amount of people that have access to this.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is a sense of authority. Like, you know, if somebody's in uniform, that must mean they're more knowledgeable on this, or they're
right.
The authority because they're in uniform. Or so is there some way that, or they said if somebody else could say, she's an authority on this topic, or she's the top expert in this field. They said even if it's, you know, so maybe if you hand off, you know, I'm going to hand you off to our senior salesperson or our senior customer agent, and they have been doing this for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to elevate your level of confidence that they're going to be able to address whatever challenges you have. Or let's say you're in a retail environment, you're going to say, well, we're going to hand you, you know, you're a very important client to us, so we've assigned your account to this certain concierge level or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to, you know, kind of motivate you to say, oh, gee, I mean, I'm in a special group. Maybe I should, you know, buy something from you.
Right.
Consistency was the other one. So let's say the study that they did was, let's say you want people to put a sign up in your yard that you support, I forgot what it was, like cutting back on water. Well, signs seems kind of big. So maybe if you got them to stick something in their window, so people that already have this in their window, then you can ask them to put it in their yard. So don't ask them to do the yard unless so they want to be consistently, like, you've started here, so let's, you know, kind of continue that path of utilizing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other one. And then liking. So if other people like it, you know, so going into, like you said, the Yelps and the, you know, other groups that talk about, I like this, Facebook is infamous for that. I mean, that's one of the biggest uses and things that people use is, I saw it on Facebook, you know. And then the last one is consensus, you know. So the really interesting sample they showed about that was, if you're in a hotel, you've probably seen in the bathroom, you know, if you'd like to conserve, you know, be kind to the environment, you know, please let us know you want to reuse your towel. Yeah. So then they added a sign that said 75% of the people that have stayed in this hotel have utilized their towels more than once. And it increased it by like 20-some percent. Then they put 75% of people that stayed in this room did this, and it went up another 30%.
Wow.
So if you can somehow build in this consensus of X percentage of people have already bought into this idea, you know, so if you could build some of those things into when you're training people around customer service, the whole idea is you're trying to persuade either the customer to stay with you, or you're persuading them to buy something from you, or tell people about you. And so,
in a positive
light. In a positive light. And so I think
right. This
could be a really interesting angle that companies haven't been utilizing in a training perspective. So I don't know if you have any examples of
that. The whole data mining thing is just fascinating to me. And then there's a creepy, you know, Big Brother side of it too. I'm like, how do they know that how many people in this particular room? I mean, this, think about the people you're having go into your room daily, potentially, is a housekeeping team of sorts for a hotel, for example, and asking them to keep track of that information. I think that's very interesting. But I bet that they already do as far as keeping track of having enough linens and towels and all kinds of things. It's just fascinating. Just what do you have, where do you have people going already that you couldn't have them gather some data for you as well?
Right.
It might make some big differences for you.
Yeah, so I think this would be a very interesting spin on just the traditional smile, build rapport. You know, it would take people to a different cognitive level around, you know, understanding why we're doing these things. Why are these things important? Why? How does this tie into the bigger picture of our marketing strategy, our operations strategy, our social media strategy, and how does that impact it so that by the time you actually have some type of exchange with someone, is there some way that you can say something in a way or use facts and figures that have this kind of authority or scarcity or, you know, X percent of people already in your neighborhood own one of these, or X percent of people, you know, so the whole liking thing, is that could be a combination of the consensus and the liking combined to say, oh, you know, you already like these people.
Right.
And 50% of them already, you know, own the same product.
Right, right.
You think, well, geez, I better get on the bandwagon then. You know, so I haven't really had any time to kind of see if there's been a certain company that's tried this angle from this perspective, and I suppose I could go back into this company that originally published these studies to see if they've got anything too.
Mm-hmm. That's just fascinating. I could certainly see that, especially with in more environmental saving the earth kind of resources. Like, it would be fascinating to know that, 70% of the people in your neighborhood within the four blocks that you live recycle daily. 70% of their household material.
Right.
I think that would be impactful for me to get me off my tush to recycle more and be more conserve more resources that way.
Yeah, and it's because that's just more of a change management. It's like it doesn't cost you anything.
It costs you not to do it, I guess, really, if you think about it that way. But, yeah, it's fascinating, just fascinating.
So, you know, so I thought I would just share that kind of spin on not necessarily customer service training, but how you have influence on people and persuasion and how it could be built into some type of customer service experiences. One interesting fact that I in my research for this show, and didn't even think about it, airports. Think about how much retailing is going on airports. It's like a big shopping mall, right?
Oh, completely. And you have captive customers.
So what does it say here? In 2013, the top airports in North America alone, responsible for servicing more than 700 million people, spending an average of 90 minutes waiting for their flights, and over $8 billion in concessions.
Wow.
That's a lot. And so,
it
just boggles my mind, but I was just reminded me of the two broke girls.
Uh-huh.
You watch that show?
I do not. Please enlighten us.
My kids tease us for watching it because it's, you know, it's just one of those guilty pleasure shows. You know, I mean, the show, the acting's just so-so, whatever. It's just stupid.
Whatever.
But they actually built a, so they worked for a bakery, like a fancy schmancy bakery, and the woman open up a second location, like, oh, great, this is wonderful, and it's in an airport. But, you know, think of all the different characters they could build into, like, there's two flight attendants that always visit this retail store in the airport every time they're in the airport. But the lines of people trying to get access to these special cupcakes, you know, makes total sense. I mean, you think about how many people are in an airport, and they talked about, I think it was a public radio show, they talked about how expensive it is to get a spot in an airport.
Oh, really?
Because they know, oh, yeah, because they know once you're in there, it's a gold mine.
Wow.
And so you have to pay a certain leasing fee or some kind of special fee.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy was really struggling with it because they were trying to raise the rates. But, oh, yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine, especially in a major city, what type of leasing fees you have to have or certain revenue limits you have to hit in order to maintain your spot.
Sure. That's just fascinating. It makes me think about the airports here in Chicago and O'Hare and different vendors.
Mm-hmm.
It's always surprising to me. I'm going to say something really horrible, which is not surprising to me, but there you go, that sometimes these establishments they must have challenges getting staff because the staff on hand, given how high...
That's the other thing they talked about.
The staff is not very customer-focused. They're kind of like, you're here, so...
Yep. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they say the employee pool, because of the airport badging process, complicated access, parking, shuttling, logistics, and then government entities as far as, you know, security... I mean, it's very hard to get somebody to, you know, have to park their car, you know, maybe in three or four lots away, get on a tram, you know, all this stuff. That's just, it's the hassle factor.
Sure.
And
sounds
so that's,
like you could get paid more for doing it, though.
I don't know.
It's an odd thing.
Yeah. It reminds me of that Tom Hanks movie, Terminal.
Which one?
Oh, Terminal.
Right.
He created this whole community of people there and developed his little routine. And, it was like living in a little town, which it is.
Yeah.
But, that's definitely, you would think, though, that there are regular flyers that people have regular routes. And then you've got certainly the flight crew that's regulars coming through there. So there's got to be some kind of reputation that you want to build.
I would think so.
Because of those kind of regular pass-through people
it's like, geez, if you did, wouldn't that be even more of a demand?
And I was even thinking the Oasis that are on our tolls here. I see some people just going to those to go eat or to go shop or just to have a place.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking, do people just come here to, because, you know, a lot, some of them are in remote areas.
Wow.
And I was thinking, okay, well, that would be another kind of thought process around customer service and maybe having, because you think about, why don't they have like little events or have musicians playing there and entertaining people? Because there's,
right.
There's communities of people that live close by to those things. I mean, just travel to the Oasis and go get my concert for the afternoon.
Right.
So
yeah,
anyway, so that's our show for today.
Woohoo!
We're going to get that weekend started.
We are.
And get out there and enjoy the good weather. So thank you again for joining me, Allison. And
absolutely.
If you are listening to this and have ideas for topics or guests, just send me an email, nancy@knowledgeshift.net.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too.